Hi, you're listening to a podcast from Frontline Youth Group. We're so glad you're here. This podcast was recorded at our weekly Frontline program. We hope it encourages you and we'd love to see you at our next event. Enjoy.
Thanks, guys. Come on. Hey, Frontline fam, how you doing? You good? Man, hello, guys. How you going? Good to see you. It is so good to be here with you guys. And I say Frontline fam, that's what we used to say back in the day. Is it still the Frontline family here? Yeah. We are the Frontline fam. And anybody who is new with us, it's your first time, second time, whatever, welcome to the Frontline family. You are now part of the family. So thank you so much for joining us. Come on, give the new people a hand again. Welcome to Frontline. So good to have you here. As Josh said, my name is Andy. And as I was sitting over there, I was realizing how long it's been since I've been here. It's been a few years, but I am now old enough, nearly, I'm now old enough to be some of your dads. And that's like weird to me because my son Judah is in grade 6 and he'll be here next year. And that's crazy to me because I never used to feel that old. I still don't feel that old, but I am. It is my joy to serve on the pastoral team here at church, to serve you guys with Matt and Holly and with all of your leaders. And it really is a wonderful thing. We love God more than anything, more than anyone else. And out of that love, we love you guys. And we are so thankful that you've come. So first time here, 100th time here. We care about you. We love you so much. So thank you for coming along tonight. And thanks to Matt and Holly for inviting me back. It's been a while. Thank you, guys. It's so good to be here with you guys. Now, one of the scriptures, if you've been around LMC for any period of time, you would have heard this scripture, is John 10:10. And we've got up on the screen here for you to read along out of the Bible. Pastor Graham used to say this so much. And it says this, this is Jesus Christ speaking. And before we put it on the screen, Jesus that we talk about, we read about in scripture, we read about in the Bible. Did you know Jesus was a real person? This book that we read, I know, this book that we read is not just a storybook. It's not just a book that is good to open up every now and then and read about certain stories that we have. This is a historical document. This is stuff that actually happened in real life. And this Jesus walked the earth and said these things. And he says this to the people at that time, and he says it to us today. He reminds us that the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who's the thief? Do we know? Who's the thief? The devil, Satan. He is the thief. And what does he come to do to you? He comes to steal from you, to kill you, and destroy you. And anyone who says Satan can be your friend, they are lying big time, because this is Satan's goal for you guys, to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. But what does Jesus say? He says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Does anyone want a rich and satisfying life? Man, my hand is up. That is me. And so this is right here, this is the lens that we see the Bible through. That we know that when it comes to the instruction that God gives us in his word about how to live, we trust it and we obey it because of this. Because it says that he came to give us life and life to the full. Another version says abundant life. This is where we find it, God's way of living. Who remembers what Pastor Matt spoke about 2 weeks ago here? His title. Does anyone remember? He spoke about leadership. What was it called? The mantle of leadership. Remember, and we take the cloak and we put it on to the different people. It's that mantle of leadership which is being passed on to you guys. He said that we have been positioned to lead. And he reminded us that every single one of you guys, whether you feel like it or not, have been in a position to lead. And that's for you if you are a home group captain or a school leader or you're a leader in your sporting team or not. You have been positioned by God and ordained to lead. And I want to make this point tonight. Leaders, they're not better. You might be a home group captain. You might have your friend being a home group captain. They stand next to you. That person is not necessarily better than you. They just have a different role to play. Do you hear what I'm saying? They just have a different role to play. They have a leadership role to play. Leaders aren't better. They just have a different role. And this is key for us to know because it leads to one of the greatest attributes that a leader can have, that of humility. And I want you to write this down. If you're writing notes tonight, I'd encourage you to do that. It is a great thing. I do it all the time because I get distracted. And so I keep writing these things down. Write this down. It says, great leaders feature humility. If you want to become a great leader, you have to have this as part of your feature set. feature humility. And tonight I want to encourage and inspire you in this area of leadership by asking you this question. If God has positioned you and he's given you a responsibility to lead, what should you do about that? How do you grow in your leadership? I want you to think about something you're good at. What's something you're good at? Someone yell it out. What are you good at? Jono, what are you good at? Soccer. Very good. What else?
Footy.
You're good at footy.
Cricket.
Anything that's not a sport. Anyone? Mountain bike painting. Artwork. Knitting. Good. What is it? I can't hear you. Eating. Good eating. All right, that's good. Anyone? Any gamers? Anyone good at gaming? All right, there's a few of them. Is anyone? All right. You good at yelling? Anyone good at yelling? Yeah. What about dancing? Anyone good at dancing? Any good dancers? Yes, good. Now, we've got someone here tonight, first time here, who is very good at something. We have one of the top snowboarders in the state for his age right here. Leo! Leo, new first time tonight. Come on, give Leo a hand, everyone. Yeah. Good at snowboarding. Now, you might be good at something, but what do you do if you want to get better at that? What do you do?
Practice.
Yes, and you look to someone who has done it better. If you want to become a better three-point shooter, you watch someone like Steph Curry shoot the ball and you learn from him. And the same can be said about our leadership. If you want to be a better leader, then we look to those who have been better at leading than us. And we look to the best. And you're going to know where I'm going tonight, but we need to look to Jesus because he had one of the greatest followings in the history of the world, the greatest following in the history of the world. For that reason alone, it would be worthy to suss out Jesus and find out why he was such a great leader. But that is not the main reason that we're going to look at Jesus. Because many bad people in history have garnered a great following. Many bad people have had a lot of people follow them. Many have made sure they've got a massive following. But we look to Jesus. We look to him because he led according to God's way. That's that next slide you should have there. He led according to God's way. See, leadership is like a superpower. Leadership can be used for good or it can be used for evil. We can use it to build someone up and encourage them, or we can use it to obtain power and have control over people. We can use it to lead people in a way that's going to benefit ourselves, selfish leadership. Or we can use it to help people move towards a life of fulfillment and abundance. The question we've got to ask is, are we going to grow in leadership based on our own wisdom or by what Jesus exampled? So how did Jesus lead? The first point is this. Again, if you're writing notes, number one is this. And Matt mentioned it 2 weeks ago. He said, Jesus submitted to God's authority. I want to reiterate again because it's so important. Being submitted, what does that mean? Because sometimes, as Matt said, it has a bit of a negative connotation that we're submitted to someone or that we need to be under someone's authority or we need to be obedient to someone above us, whether it's a boss or a parent or a leader. But to submit to someone's authority means that you're coming underneath them, that you're listening to what they say. And when it comes to God, we submit to his authority as the number one authority. It's not a good idea. It's the best idea. It's the best thing that you can ever do. And Jesus did this. In John 5:19, we see him say this. Jesus explained to them, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He sees only what he sees. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. And being submitted to God's authority means living the way that God wants us to live. And that means if I'm going to submit to God's authority, that what the Bible says is good, I'm going to grab and I'm going to embrace. I'm going to run with that. And equally, what the Bible says is evil. What the Bible says is sin. What the Bible says is no good for me, whether it be bad attitudes, whether it be something like sin. No matter what it is, I'm gonna do everything in my power to push that out of my life. I don't want that to be a part of my life because God is the number one authority. And Jesus did that. He submitted to God's authority. So that's the first one. The second one is this, and we're going to focus on this tonight, that Jesus came to serve. A second feature of Jesus' leadership that we can learn from him is he had a heart to serve. Who's heard that before, that Jesus came to serve? Has anyone heard that before? Let's look at the verse. Matthew 20:28. says, for even the Son of Man, which is Jesus, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And you might have heard this, and some of you have heard this about Jesus before, that he came to serve. But I just want you to focus on that for a second. Jesus, the Son of God, left his place in heaven, the perfection of heaven, to come down to earth with us. And as he did that, the King of all kings said, I'm not here so that you can bow down and you can serve me and you can do everything that I want you to do. But he came down and said, I'm here to serve you. That is crazy. Who does that? Who would do that? When you're at home and it's dinner time and your mum and dad says, it's time for dinner, come and come to the table. What do? You get up and you maybe wait three or four times. I used to do that, wait three or four times for them to call me. And then I'll finally trudge down, depending on how hungry I was. And I would walk into the kitchen and I would just simply sit at the table and wait for my mum or my dad to bring my food and put it in front of me and to serve me. Is that how it works in your household? Or do you have to get it yourself? You have to get it yourself? Well, I don't know. For some people here, you might be served your dinner every single night. We go to a restaurant and we expect that we're going to be served our dinner. And we are in this attitude constantly that it is better to be served. If someone's going to do something for me, then that's where I want to be, that they can do something for me and I am served. And even more when it comes to leadership. If we're not careful, as we become a leader, we have this entitlement or this expectation that everyone else is going to serve us. But Jesus is flipping all this on its head. And he's saying this. I want you to write this down tonight. To be a great leader, you need to be a great servant. If we're going to grow in our leadership, we need to take this on board. To be a great leader, you need to be a great servant. And he gives us this practical example that I want to give to you tonight as well. And we're going to read this in John 13. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn to John, the book of John chapter 13. We're going to read from verse 4 to 15. I'll give you a second to turn there. While you're doing that, this is during the Last Supper, where Jesus met with some of his colleagues, his friends, the 12 disciples. And they're meeting around and they're sitting at this low table, right? It's not a dinner table like we're at. It's a low table where you sit and you sit on a cushion. And they're having this last meal together. And Jesus knows, I'm about to die on the cross. And they're having this time together. And look at what he says in verse 4. It says, so he got up from the table. Jesus took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested. You will never wash my feet. And Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. That's serious. Now, the picture, the difference between this picture and what we have today is most of the people I see in here, few people are the exception, have shoes and socks on. You walked in here with shoes and socks on. You walked in off concrete and you've walked in onto carpet and now you're sitting here and I'm assuming most of your feet are relatively clean. But that wasn't the way it worked in these days. And we're talking about sandals, always wearing sandals. We're talking about dirt roads. We're talking about dirt pathways. It would have been okay. It would have been relatively clean. But what you've got to realize is those pathways, those dirt roads, what were they shared by in those days? They were shared by the animals. There was the donkeys roaming around. Probably the sheep wandering through, the chickens, everything was around there. And so these disciples, as they're walking through the town, they're collecting dust on their feet, they're collecting animal stuff on their feet. And to be honest, so I've got a bit of video to show you, because my daughter, who is now a bit older, this is when she was, I think, 2 years old, when we first moved into our house, we got some chickens. And the chickens used to just roam free in the backyard. And they just used to poo everywhere, like everywhere. And Olive went out there with bare feet one day and then stepped in something. And have a look at this.
Olive, what is it, sweetie?
It's poo.
Wipe it on the path.
Can you wipe it on the path?
Yeah. She got a little bit off. It can't get more.
Are you okay? You can rub it off. Get Daddy to help you.
Daddy, can you help me?
Oh, okay. Turn it off. Turn that off. Get out of here. Hey, too much. My daughter has just, it's hilarious. Every time there's something disgusting, it's so funny. Does it sound appealing though? Like, I don't know if you noticed, like, I was supposed to help her out when she first said, I've got poo on my foot. I was walking around, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to touch that. I don't want to clean you up because it's disgusting to clean poo off someone's feet. It's disgusting. No one wants to do it. In fact, that was the job of the lowest of low servants back in those days. If you were to go into someone's house, they would have a servant that would clean your feet. And that was like their entry level. That was like their apprentice. First year apprentice was the one that was cleaning your feet. And here we have the Son of God cleaning their feet. Jesus says, I'm doing it anyway. Move on to verse 12. He says, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, what does it say? You ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. And I want to give you that picture. And give you that example tonight. Maddie, have you spoken to that person?
No, I haven't.
All right, great. Where are you? Is Max here? Is that yes? Max, come on up here, mate. Can you come up here? Everyone give Max a hand. Yeah, have a seat there, Max. And would you mind removing your footwear, please? This is not the yelling. It's not this style. It's now, Max. I'm so thankful that you came in shoes and socks tonight. Well done. Thank you for that.
I'm a bit sweaty.
A bit sweaty. That's okay. I don't mind. Now I put this water in earlier. It's going to be pretty cold, but you know what I did for you. I didn't want your feet to get cold. And so Jesus comes to this position and he's got these guys sitting around and he gets up off the table. We're sitting there, we're enjoying this meal, and he gets up off the table. And it says he takes off his robe because he's preparing, because Jesus knows, you know, this is not the most pleasant of jobs. It's going to get a bit dirty. And he grabs a towel. And he puts it around his waist. Like, not really flattering. Jesus is not in this to be looking cool. And sometimes serving people in this manner, it's not about looking cool. And it's not about doing it because of the props that I'm going to get for this. But it's doing it because my heart is to serve. And so Max, and Jesus comes and he says, I'm going to wash your feet. And Max, I would love to wash your feet tonight. Seriously. I honor you, Max. You are a great man. And so, would you pop your foot in there? And so, yeah, it's good. And so the person holds the microphone for Jesus. And just cleans his feet. Thanks, mate. And it says he uses the towel. I'm going to use a different towel. And yeah, thanks. And I know, like, but it's humbling. And, you know, we come to this position sometimes where we get called to serve as a leader. Remember, this is not Jesus the servant, the slave. This is Jesus the leader who has humbled himself to be able to serve his colleagues, to be able to serve those around him. And he does it not by saying, hey, look at me, I'm Jesus, and look at what I'm doing. He does it to give an example, and he says, go and do this to those around you. Thanks, Max. You can go. And, you know, sometimes we get to this position and we go to serve someone, like I say to Max, and it would have been, I'm sure, as I asked Max to come up and he knew what he was about to do, he was thinking, oh, I don't want this to happen. This is not a comfortable position for me to be in. And sometimes we do that. If we offer to serve someone in this kind of way, we can be generous and we can have our heart ready to serve them and they say, nah, I don't want it. Please, no. I'm just going to run the other way. And at that point, we are tested. What do you think? Ugh. Max, I've gone to all this effort to get this water and to get these towels and you just said no. And what is that saying? What's that saying about my heart? I'm in this for me. When we are to lead as a servant, we're to do it whether we get a benefit or not, whether we get a thank you or not. We are doing it because we're doing it for the Lord as Jesus was doing it. Pop up that next slide for me. There's two things that we see Jesus doing here. Jesus is saying that as leaders serve, that no job is below a servant-hearted leader. No job. Doing the dirtiest of jobs reveals your heart as a servant leader. And whether that's our leaders here who, after you guys go home, they pack up, they vacuum, they set the chairs up, they do all those things they need to do. If you're walking down the schoolyard, you're picking up some of the banana skins that are there, the rubbish. How many people, when we walk past rubbish at school, we just go, man, that'll be good for someone else to pick up. That was me, I know. But as a leader, we flip that on our head because we're there to serve as we lead. There is no job that is below a servant-hearted leader. And the second thing that Jesus is doing with this example that I've just shown you is this, that he's paralleling this with the washing that he does of us. In verse 8, he says, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me, which is pretty serious. Because you and I, before knowing Jesus, and we've sung it already tonight, we are dirty with sin. And we are dirty in a way that there is nothing that you can do to scrub that off. We are permanently stained. But through Jesus going to the cross, paying the price, which is death for our sin, we are now cleansed from that sin. And I don't know if you've thought perhaps that sometimes you're just too dirty. You're just too far gone. Or you've thought, I've done too many wrong things over and over again. Or I am so unworthy. Have you felt unworthy to have Jesus clean you like that? I want you to remember this truth that we have on the screen, that no sin is too dirty that it cannot be cleansed by Jesus. Previous slide it was. What would have been easier for Jesus to do in that moment was not clean their feet. It would have been easier for him to say, give me your hands, and I'll make the example by cleaning your hands or cleaning another part of your body that was a bit easier and a bit cleaner for me to do. But Jesus says, no, I want to set this example for you. I'm going to clean the dirtiest part of your body back in those days. I'm going to clean that part because I want you to know that the cleansing that I can do inside you is the dirtiest and the deepest and the darkest parts. That is the power that Jesus has as he died over sin and over death. There is no part of your life that is too dirty that cannot be cleansed by God. And as we say yes to him, we say no to our sin. And this is a top-line example of what Matt was talking about last time in leading ourselves. He said, you know, if we're going to lead others well, we need to lead ourselves well. And we lead ourselves away from sin and we lead ourselves towards God. And at the same time, we serve someone, because to be a great leader is to be a great servant. And Jesus came to serve. But this is what it all comes down to, and this is my last point. Why should you care about all this in the first place? Why would you be sitting here on the 3rd of May, 2024, listening to me speak about leadership and encouraging you to take on this mantle of leadership in service and all these other things? What, like, why? What's the point of all of that? What is the motivation behind doing it all? There's one word. I sum it up all in one word. The motivation is love. Because out of everything that we could teach you about leadership growth, it all comes down to this: love. Love is the North Star of leadership growth. And the last point for tonight, Jesus led with love. But it's not the kind of love that some of you might think. See, when the Bible talks about love, it talks about God. Because the Bible says God is love. God is love. And if you want to find an accurate definition of what love is, which is very different depending on who you ask in today's day and age, all you need to go is to the Bible and find out who God is, to find out what love is. And here's the thing about leading with love. Pop this next slide up. Is it's not first about loving the people who you're leading. It's about loving the one who leads you. And if there is nothing else that you take from tonight, that's it right there. That is the North Star. It's not first about loving the people who you're leading. It's about loving the one who leads you. 1 John 4:19 says, we love each other because he first loved us. And the motivation for becoming a leader must be our love of God, because it corrects us when selfishness comes. It's so easy to become selfish as a leader. It corrects us when power and manipulation become the goal for us in our leadership. And it helps lift us up when we feel like we've been a failure. Because here's the thing, if there's no one to lead and you're not leading anyone and you fail, you get disappointed in yourself. And that's kind of the end of it. But if you're leading other people and you fail, you end up disappointing a lot of other people. And that's something that leaders have to deal with. And if you haven't experienced that yet, it's coming. But what do we do in that situation? If our love of God is first and foremost before our love of other people and what they think, then every single time we go to God and say, God, I thank you for your love for me, we immediately change our perspective. And we know that even in our failures, the worst of our failures, that he redeems our story in those moments. There is hope for you, even in the midst of your failure, as you come to God. So lead with love. This is what leading with love is not. Leading with love isn't compromising God's word so that you might gain influence. You know, you might get offered something around a group of friends, somewhere else, maybe some family members. You might get offered something that you know that that's wrong. You know what the Bible says. This Bible says that this is sin. But if you accept it, and if you go on that journey with them, then you know you're going to be accepted. And you know even at that point you might gain some further influence and even gain a few extra leadership credits in that group. And that might be true. But by compromising, we end up losing our opportunity to lead them in the ways of God. It is not worth it. Ever. It is not worth it. That's what leading with love is not. It's not about compromising God's word. Leading with love is not about shying away from sharing the truth in a situation. It's not about staying silent on an issue that you think might cause tension because it sounds unloving. You know, the Bible says that truth and love are two sides of the same coin. If we're going to share the truth with people, then we've got to share it in a way that is loving. We've got to share it with love. And I want to say it this way, and you can write this down. Truth without love is mean. It is. Truth without love is mean. If I'm going to tell you the truth about something and I've got no love in me, then it comes across as mean. But then love without truth becomes meaningless. And I'll use this story, I'll use this example for you. My youngest son, Roman, who's in prep, 6-year-old. We live on Mount Dandenong Tourist Road. There's a lot of fast cars going up and down there. And if Rome's off near the road, and there's the potential for him to get hit by a car, I'm not going to, at that point, say, "Hey, Rome, I love you. Rome, I love you. Come give me a hug, Rome." You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, "Rome, get back away from the road. Come here. Quickly, mate, come." And he would run. And then what I would do is I would say, Hey, buddy, mate, you need to understand that that's really dangerous over there. You need to understand that this is the reason why I called you over like I did. And I'm there explaining exactly why that is a danger over there. And this is what we do as we share this truth with love. Leading with the love of God first means we get to know His word. And then we live obedient to it. Will you be perfect? But we keep going as God refines us more and more through life when we say yes to Him. And I want to leave you finally with this picture tonight. And I've got a couple other things I want to show you. If you're to lead well, and we're going to love God wholeheartedly, and we're going to grow in our relationship with Him, if anyone wants to grow, if you want to grow stronger, what do you do? There's two main things. Number one is to grow stronger, hit the gym. You hit the gym. You work out. For you and I, like if we're talking about our faith muscle, if we're talking about our growth of our relationship with God, this right here, this is the gym. Coming to youth, coming to church, this is where we stay accountable. This is where we go, come on, let's do it. We come to life groups and we talk about the Word of God and we shake down with each other and we have a good time at the gym. But what's the second part about growing strong? What do you need to do? Well, eat well. And the question I have for you tonight is, what are you eating? What are you eating? So if you're going to grow in your leadership, what's the number one thing you can do in your growth of your leadership? It's to grow in your relationship with God. That is the number one thing you can do. Now, if you're to grow in your relationship with God, youth is a great start because you're going to be working out. Church, come along to church. We would love to see you here. Man, I would love Frontline Fam represented at church on a Sunday morning, just being rowdy in church. You're welcome. Come on. But the second thing is, what are you eating? What are you eating? And this is the point. Like, we can come home. Your leader is not with you every day of the week. They're not there every hour. But we get home from school. We've had a rough day. Or maybe we've expended a lot of energy. And we go, all right, what am I going to do with my time? Man, I'm going to eat. Man, these French fries. These honey soy chicken chips, this is good. And you put down a few packets of those, or you put down all 20. And you're like, how do you feel after that? Anyone know what KFC regret is? Has anyone got, you know what I'm talking about? Some of this stuff right here. What are you eating? Maybe you decide, oh, this is a good one for me. Maybe the raspberry shortcakes. You're like, man, I'll put down a couple of these. How much do you think I'm going to, which way do you think I'm going to be growing if I'm down at a couple of packets of these, right? Probably not the right way. And then you go and you're like, oh, maybe I'll tuck into some LCMs, right? I think LCMs are like, these should be allowed at youth because it's close to LMC, you know, so LCMs, LMCs. The sour, sweet chili and sour cream kettles. Do you notice the category of food that I'm pulling out of the bag at the moment? And some of these things, you know, oh. Less sugar. 25% less sugar. I bought the wrong ones. And then you pop it all down with a glass of Coke. But you know what? And I know, like, our taste buds say thank you, but the rest of our body says, what are you doing to me? And it's like we come home, and maybe we've had some challenging times with our friends. Maybe one of our friends has said something that's actually hurt us. And we come home, and what do we do with that? We, like, we pop on some Netflix or something like that, and we think, yeah, that's going to be for my growth of my relationship with God, which I need Him at this moment. Then Netflix is going to be my answer. Or we say, maybe YouTube. Maybe YouTube's going to give me what I need. Maybe I'll consume some YouTube, and it's not really the thing that's best for us. Or we come and we say, well, maybe a couple of hours on social media is going to be exactly what I need. This is going to help me. I need to grow right now, but that's going to be what it is. But even for some of you, like, I've got some other things in here. Maybe some apples. Because this could be the real thing. Like, it's healthy. It's good for you. This is actually good. Something like your schoolwork. Some people, you know, let me come home and do some schoolwork. Let me do something productive. Let me go to work and earn a living. Let me consume some broccoli, you know, in my life. And maybe the better option is I just go for a walk outside. And you know, we all are consuming something. We're all eating something. But are we eating towards the growth of our relationship with God, or are we not? That's the question I want to ask you tonight. What are you eating? What are you eating? Because the number one thing that you can eat, that you can consume, is this thing right here. Is the Word of God. Is the truth of God. What He says about you. This is what will fulfill you. This is what will sustain you. Is His very truth. Now, I know for some of you guys, you look at a book like that and you think, that is too big, Andy. If you expect me to read that, there's no way. I can't even read half a page, let alone read the whole Bible. I want to tell you what. God knows and God sees your heart. And we need to get as much of this in us as we can. But if reading ain't your thing, then there are other options for you today. Has anyone got the Bible on their phone? You know they can read to you? Do it. Put it on in the background. Go for a walk and stick the Bible on in your ears. This is the other great resource that I want to show you on the screen. This is called Right Now Media. This is something that we actually take a subscription out as a church, which means it's free for all of you. You can have it. And it's got all these different Bible studies that are done in a way that is easy for you guys to consume. And when it comes home and you've got the choice of having some Fruit Loops and Netflix, Or you've got the choice of chucking some of the Word of God on and eating some healthy broccoli and some apples. Choose the healthy stuff. Choose what is going to grow you in your leadership and grow in your relationship with God. The next slide, this is the access to all of that Bible study. And I know that if you do it, you are going to grow in your relationship with God. And so grab your phone out. I'd love you to grab your phone out. It is free for you. We pay for it as a church so that you guys can have access to this. There's stuff on there for you guys in your age group. There's stuff on there about families. There's stuff on there, things you're struggling with, or you just want to do Bible studies. It's all on there, and it's a great way to do it. So, we have all been given a mandate to lead. And if we're going to lead like Jesus, what are the three things that we need to remember? Number one, we understand that we are submitted to God's authority as Jesus was. Secondly, what was the second part about the way that Jesus led? What did he do? He led and he served. He served. And the third part was Jesus led with love. But it wasn't first and foremost the love of other people. It was first and foremost his love of God. And it was out of that love that it then spread to other people. So I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for you in terms of your growth. And then you guys are going to split up and Matt's going to come and share with you what you're doing next. But I want to pray for anyone who says, Andy, I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to grow in my leadership and grow in my relationship with God. And I saw this picture as I was preparing, that there are some people that it's like you've been a little plant. And as a little plant, you've like sat in the shade, maybe in the corner of a building, you've sat in the shade, and you've grown a little bit, but it's not too much. And tonight, with this encouragement, God wants to move you into the sunlight, that there would start to be a rapid growth come to your relationship with him. And the catalyst is going to be the way that you start consuming his word and working out here at youth and at church. And so I'm going to pray for anyone who wants that. And we're going to close our eyes and we just do this as a matter of respect to everyone around us and so that we can focus. So we're not looking at our phones anymore, or we're not looking at the paper in front of us, that we're just focused. And just this is an opportunity for every single one of you with eyes closed just to ask God what he'd have you do. And so, Father, I pray for every single person here. I thank you for the Frontline fam. I thank you that it is not a mistake that they are here on this Friday night. And that they have heard this word on leadership and we have looked at you, Jesus, as our model and as our example of how to lead and how to lead well. And Father, we know that there's nothing better that we can do to grow in this area of leadership than to grow in our relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would stir people's hearts here tonight. You would stir their passion for you. You would stir their passion for your word. Lord, I pray that you would move them into the light, and that their growth wouldn't be something that they can attribute to great decisions that they have made, but it would be attributed to you and the way that your Holy Spirit is at work in them. We thank you that your word is a firm foundation for us to build our lives upon. That we do not need to be worried about what the future holds, because that foundation is secure. You know, you might be worried about what tomorrow holds, worried about what next year holds, worried about whether you are able to do that or not do that. But you do not need to worry about the future when you know who's there in the future with you. God is the one who holds the future in his hands. And so we walk into it with no fear, with no worry, no anxiety for what lies ahead, because we know that God is there with us. So Jesus, we thank you for the way that you set the example for us in service and in love. And our response to you from the depths of our hearts is to surrender it all back to you. And so, Lord, we ask you to have your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen.